Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And of course, this is a live program. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to be talking tonight with a special guest, Tom Wallace. He's been with us on the program before with Fortress of Faith. And we're going to be talking about the terror attacks, the Islamic terror attacks in Paris this past Friday. But before we do that, let's open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless the program and use it for your glory. Father, again, our hearts go out certainly to the people in Paris and those that are affected by this Islamic terrorist attack here this past Friday. And certainly we pray for those that are in the hospital and injured, Lord, and certainly many people, though they're not physically injured, are going to be emotionally scarred, mentally scarred as a result of the things that they went through. And Lord, I do pray that somehow that we can use these events to help point people to Christ and to illustrate the need of a Savior. Father, we just pray that you bless the program tonight. Help us to accomplish your goal and your will and your work through the things we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, your host tonight. Be with you until midnight this evening. And want to mention, too, that you can always find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our Facebook page there as well. I encourage you to do that. I try to put various articles on the Facebook page and information about the program and things of that nature. And you can check that out and find out all that by going to livewithpastoral.com. Well, as I said, we have a special guest with us tonight. We have Tom Wallace joining us tonight. And Tom Wallace, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hey, Brother Al, good to be with you and with your listeners here tonight.
It's good to have you on. You were just not too long ago on with us previously, and under the circumstances, I've heard other people say, "Boy, this is the time that I hate to have had to call you." But, when we think of what's happening in the world, and Paris is really, in some senses, only a symptom of what's happening in the world. But when we think of the attacks, people are wondering, what happened? Why did it happen? And how did it happen? And people just expressing their just aghast at the terrible things that took place, can't understand it. But when you understand Islam, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. Sadly, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And, people want answers. They don't want the political correct version. We've had that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the sniff test. And people want the truth. And tonight, we're going to give them the truth.
Well, and Lord willing, we'll be able to point them to God's Word to help them to process what's happening. You know, one of the themes with our program is, understanding world events or current events in light of God's Word. And so that's what we hope to do tonight. And also, before we get into our program, let me just let you plug your ministry and your website and your radio program as well before I forget about that.
Well, be glad to. Thank you, Al. We are on about 300 stations across America now. One of my, main, where we're syndicated is American Family Radio. And we have a daily broadcast, a weekend broadcast. Our website is fortressoffaith.org. That's fortressoffaith.org. And we have past broadcast and articles. We've written over 1,200 articles now dealing with Islam. I'm a former missionary. With a background dealing with Islam. My co-host is Saram Hadian, a former Muslim from Iran. And so you're hearing from a missionary perspective, from a former Muslim who's now a pastor. And by the way, if I can give a quick plug, my book,
yes,
Refuting Islam, is going to be coming out at the end of the month. And
great.
That'll be available on our website as well.
All right, and that's fortressoffaith.org. And let me, and we've got that linked at ours as well. And I'll be posting. I've posted a number of your things on our Facebook account or page as well. So excellent website. A lot of good material there. A lot of videos too that are there. And I encourage people to check that out. Well, Tom, you know, you have a lot more expertise in Islam than I do, and I've read and studied about it a bit myself. And I recall that when I left the Air Force, I served in the United States Air Force in the 1980s, and we kept track of a lot of things that were going on. And because of being stationed in England myself at that time, you know, we saw a lot of Islamic terror attacks that were taking place. Now, of course, all that was in the overall atmosphere of the Cold War, and we were trying to contain the Soviet Union, as President Ronald Reagan rightly called it, the evil empire. And thankfully, we defeated them in the Cold War, and the Soviet Union broke up. But after I left the Air Force, and we were watching something on TV, and they were showing the fall of the Berlin Wall and talking about the ending of the Cold War and the breakup of the Soviet Union, I turned to my wife at that time, and this was long before September 11 here in 2001 in the United States, when a lot of people in America woke up to the reality of Islamic terrorism. I turned to my wife when the Berlin Wall and everything was coming down, and I said, the next thing we're going to have to deal with is Islamic fundamentalism. And I said that based on what I saw stationed in England in the United States Air Force during the 1980s. And sadly, that has come to be true. I mean, I wish it wasn't, but it's happening today. And there are people today who just don't think this Islamic terror threat is real. What do you have to say about that?
Well, there's a lot of people who want to live in a fantasy world, you know, try to pretend that you know, these things are happening by a few radical people who are giving a peaceful religion a bad name. That's the political correct agenda. That's the, you know, the montage that we're trying to sell. And it's just, you know, it's false. And the way we're dealing with it is proving that, you know, that it's not working. This isn't the truth.
Right.
And it's just a fantasy world that people are playing in.
Yeah, I've told people myself, I've said, I wish I could be that naive, but... you know, in order to believe that, I saw too much in the 1980s. September 11, I did not like what I saw, but I wish I could say that it surprised me. It did not. The only thing that was surprising about our September 11 attack in 2001 was that it took so long to come about. And when we look at these things that are happening, of course, then there's the other objection. Well, if we were not over there bothering these people, they would not do this. And again, that's kind of the head buried in the sand routine, I think.
Yeah, well, Brother Al, you know, the fact is that history does not bear that statement to be true. Islam has been at war with all those who are non-believers.
Right.
Muhammad declared war on the kuffar, on the unbeliever, and this is a mandate that's given to Muslims. So if you're going to be a good Muslim, if you're going to follow the teachings of your prophet, I mean, Muhammad is the great exemplar, as the Quran puts. He is the, you know, there's no better source of Islam than the prophet Muhammad. And if he did it, and if you're a good Muslim, you're going to do it. Muhammad said that he's been called to war against those who do not declare Allah as God and Muhammad as his prophet. And so if you're going to be an unbeliever, they're at war with us. The good news is that most of the Muslims in the world don't follow Islam. Are, you know, let's face it, those who call themselves Christians,
right?
For the most part, many of them in America aren't true Christians. So they've never darkened the door of a church. They don't know what salvation is, and that they're Christian by name. That's the same thing true about Muslims. They're Muslim by name.
Right.
There are some who are practicing Islam, but they have fallen into a school, I call it Reformed Islam. They're trying to, you know, they've made an imagination, in their own imagination, what they think Allah should be like. And they only take certain passages out of the Quran that are peaceful, that they borrowed out of the Bible, and only stick to those passages. So some Muslims out there really genuinely believe Islam is a religion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the militant Muslim is hiding behind that, that false wall that's being put out there, so that they can come into our nation and carry out their sedition and their destruction. But those who study Islam, and, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out, that Islam declares war. And in the show, we'll be glad to give the proof, and it'll explain why these Muslims are doing what they're doing and why we should stand against it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you think about it, I consider myself a fundamentalist, a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. And I often use the term fundamentalist Muslim, and some people don't like that term because they think, well, then that'll make you sound like, as a fundamentalist Christian, a fundamentalist Bible-believing Christian, you're the same as a fundamentalist Muslim if you use that term. Well, the world already uses that and equates them. But by fundamentalist, I look at the idea that as a fundamentalist Bible-believing Christian, I believe the Word of God to be exactly that, the Word of God, and I interpret it. And I practice it, I interpret it in basically the literal historical sense, and I practice it, and so I go to the fundamentals of what the Bible has to say, and I try to put those fundamental principles in practice in my life and in my ministry. And so when I refer to a fundamentalist Muslim, I suppose I could say a fundamentalist Quran-believing Muslim. In the sense that they would also go to the fundamentals of their faith. And you made a very good point. Most Muslims, like unfortunately most Christians, really don't know what the fundamentals of their faith are. And for a Bible-believing Christian, of course, it's the fundamental truths of the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, that he was buried and rose again bodily from the dead. And we understand some of those fundamental truths. You must be born again, those sorts of things. And there are fundamental truths in the Quran as well, aren't there?
Well, absolutely. And this is the problem. You know, I mean, I'm right with you, Brother Al. I, like you, I'm a fundamentalist when it comes to the Bible, to the Holy
Right.
Scriptures. I believe it to be God's Word. I whatever comes out of it that makes, plain sense as I read it, I obey it and mm-hmm. live by it and accept it as truth. When a Muslim approaches the Quran and the Sunnah, we need to understand there's more
Right.
to the Scriptures of Islam than just the Quran. The Sunnah are the words and teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. The Quran are the words and teachings of the God, Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put the two together. And Muslims, when they study these scriptures, they see it as God's words and teachings and obey it, just like a Christian would obey,
mm-hmm.
or a fundamentalist Christian would obey the Bible. So also will a fundamentalist Muslim obey the scriptures of Islam.
And I, going along with that, I remember back in, I think it was about 2001, 2002, somewhere in that time frame, not too long after the September 11 attacks, I actually preached a message called Why I Would Join Al-Qaeda If I Was a Muslim. And, it raised a few eyebrows, but at the same time, I used that point. If I were to approach the Quran in the same manner that as a fundamental Bible-believing Christian, I approach the Word of God, the Bible, then it would lead not to the peaceful Muslims that we were talking about earlier, but rather it would lead to people more like Al-Qaeda, more like the Muslim Brotherhood, more like the Islamic State, people like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listeners need to understand that jihad is an essential part of Islam. Here's what the Prophet Muhammad had said. He said that standing for an hour in the ranks of battle is better than standing in prayer for 60 years.
Mm.
So, just 60 minutes standing in jihad. Jihad is struggle against evil.
Right.
And Islam has declared war against the non-believer, the kuffar. So the battle against the kufar, the evil, the unbeliever, if you stand just 1 hour, 60 minutes, that's far more valuable in points, to Allah than standing in prayer for 60 years. My goodness, you know. So, man, if you want to have Allah's pleasure, you get involved in jihad. And after all, there's a lot of rewards for that. We've all heard of the 72 virgins, right? But that's not in the Quran. That is in the Sunnah, as I mentioned earlier. Three different hadiths that this is mentioned in. It's called the seven blessings of the Shaheed. The Shaheed is the martyr. Right. The only way a Muslim is guaranteed heaven is to die as a martyr, as a Shaheed. There are seven blessings. First blessing is he's forgiven the moment his blood is first shed. Second, he'll have a place in paradise. He'll be spared the trial of the grave. He'll be secure on the day of judgment. A crown of dignity and one ruby will be given to him. And then he'll be married to 72 al-Huralins. These are the virgins. He'll be able to ravage them for all eternity. He'll have the appetite of 100 men for sex and food. But the seventh blessing that most people never talk about is that he'll plead for 70 of his family members to be saved. So not only does he get to be saved, but so does 70 of his family. And so these people have been duped. You know, the con artist, Muhammad, got people to fight for him. We need to understand Muhammad wasn't just building a religion. He was building a kingdom. Mm-hmm. And he needed to defeat and keep all the tribes in order and under his command. And so he promised them these rewards. He got his blessings from God. God would tell them, you know, they'll tell you people this, that this will happen to them if they die today. They get to have all these rewards. Who does this appeal to? It appeals to young men.
Right.
And it still appeals to young men.
And, you know, we think about that. We were just talking, actually, at our Friday night Bible study. Our church has a Bible study every Friday night. And it actually was what prompted this radio program in the beginning as well. But we were talking about that idea that when somebody gives themselves in martyrdom, they get a number, you said 70, of their family and others that get automatic entrance into paradise as well. And I was talking about that's why you see these people celebrating somebody who, for instance, these people who blew themselves up in Paris on Friday night. Their family members aren't mourning them. They're celebrating because that means some of them are going to get the free pass to in their theory or in their thinking. I mean, it's going to get them into paradise as well. And so it's cause for celebration, but what a difference you read when you read the accounts of the martyrs, you know, the Christian martyrs down through the ages. In fact, in Acts, where you have the martyrdom of Stephen, the first martyr there, this is an interesting contrast with what happens with the Islamic martyrs. In Acts chapter 8, after Stephen was killed, the Bible says in verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They didn't celebrate his death saying, oh, great, you know, glory to God, we're going to get into heaven now. They lamented the fact that he had been killed. And you see the opposite.
Cherish life. Christianity causes us to cherish life.
Hey, that's a great point.
Of death.
Yeah, that's a great point. And
big difference.
Yeah, when we look at this with Islam, and I wanted to discuss some of this portion of Islam and some of this dealing with the situation in Paris, and of course we're going to be on till midnight, and let me just interject here that you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al with my guest tonight, Tom Wallace, Fortress of Faith. That's fortressoffaith.org, and we are talking about Islam in light of the attacks, the Islamic terror attacks in Paris on Friday night, Friday the 13th, and we are, of course, doing this live. If you've got a question, maybe you've got some questions about Islam, some questions about what occurred, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be on until midnight tonight. And Tom Wallace, I want to thank you for being on with us, and we're talking about these parts of Islam that certainly you don't hear on ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, and really not even that much on Fox anymore. But these are things that need to be talked about, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, people are wanting the truth. And one of the reasons why our program has become so successful in such a short period of time is because, you know, we lay out the truth. We give you the evidence and explain why they do what they do. As a person of faith, and if you are a believer, if you, you know, have faith in God and believe God's word to, you know, to command you to live in a certain way, you need you pretty much can understand why Muslims do what they do, but they're following their holy scriptures and the teachings of their prophet, and this is what they are called upon to do. And they don't apologize for this. They just simply believe they're doing the work of Allah, doing God's work.
Right.
These terrorists who methodically, without emotion, surrendered their lives, but before they did, they, you know, just pointed the gun and took the life of people that they thought were filth, evil, disease to the world, because that's exactly what their religion has taught them about us. And, you know, the kufar is the term in the Quran for the unbeliever.
Right.
You know, if you literally translate it, it means the excrement, the
mm-hmm.
filth.
Yes.
Okay?
It's, you know, it's a very derogatory term.
Oh, very. And so, you know, we are the evil that's in the world. And the idea of Islam, that once they've rid the world of the kufar, then there will be peace. The objective of Islam is peace. That's not what Islam means. Islam means surrender, submission. So the idea, when everyone submits and surrenders to Allah, then there'll be peace in the world. So they have to get rid of the kufar, either force you to become Muslim or annihilate you, take you out.
Right. And
this,
of course,
is part of the Islamic code.
Yeah, and of course, Islam divides the world into two houses, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, Dar al-Islam and Dar al-Harb. The Dar al-Islam, the house of submission, and Dar al-Harb, the house of war. There's no middle ground here.
And
either friend or foe.
You know, and that's what gets me. We have our leaders, you know, I use the term somewhat loosely, I guess, these days, who are saying, we're not at war with Islam. And I have to agree to them with a certain point. We're not, but they are at war with us.
Mm.
And that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
They've been at war with us, and we refuse to acknowledge it. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson was the first United States president that took the war to the Muslims. And that's, we just celebrated the anniversary of the United States Marine Corps, just, I believe, what was it? I believe the 12th of November. And, or was, yeah, I think it was the 12th of November. And what did we start the Marine Corps for? From the halls of Montezuma to where? The shores of Tripoli.
Tripoli?
That's,
yeah.
That's jihadi land at that time. And we
yeah,
did
North
that.
North Africa, Libya, that's where the Barbary pirates
right.
were. And we fought them for 20 years.
Yes.
They enslaved our, you know, our crews and kept our ships, held them for ransom. And John Adams, a great president, but, you know, he was misguided.
Right.
He paid them off.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that teach them? You know, we steal your ships, steal your crew, you pay us. So
right.
we do more of it.
And Europe
Thomas
had a
history. Read the Quran,
yeah.
realized, hey, you know, these people, it's in the Quran that they're to war with us. We're not going to, you know, appease these people. They only understand war. And
right.
that's what stopped them.
Well, you know, a lot of people are changing their thoughts on it, I think, today in light of the attacks in Paris here this past Friday. Tom Wallace, we've got minutes, I guess, before our break, and we're going to be on until midnight tonight. But why don't you give out your information real quick again before we go to the break, and we're going to continue this discussion as well on the other side of the break. But go ahead and give out your information there real quick.
Sure, be glad to. Yeah, our website is fortressoffaith.org, fortressoffaith.org, and our radio broadcast, we're syndicated, we're nationwide, and my partner, Sharam Hadian, is a former Muslim from Iran, now a Christian pastor, I'm a former missionary and background dealing with studying of Islam in Christian apologetics. And we expose Islam, debate Muslims, and prove Islam as a false religion, Muhammad as a con artist. And the beauty of it, it's quite easy. We just use their words against them.
Right.
It kills them every time.
Well, I appreciate you being on with us short notice here. In fact, I just got in touch with you yesterday as I was going over some things trying to put the program together for tonight. And I want to appreciate or send my appreciation, my thanks for you being on with us. And again, before we hit the break here, I just want to remind our listeners that, again, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can call us toll-free. If you've got a question for us, and we will pick you up on the second half of the program. And also want to remind you that you can find this program, hopefully in a day or two I'll have it uploaded, and you can find it at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to it. There's an MP3 file. You can listen live there or listen to the recording there or download it yourself. And you can also link to our Facebook page there and encourage you to visit there and like us on Facebook. But stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. We'll be with you till midnight tonight. And Tom, stick with us. Thanks for being on with us tonight. And we'll take a short break here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we are talking with Tom Wallace, who is a host of Fortress of Faith. And you can find him at fortressoffaith.org. He's on several radio stations. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But before we get back into our conversation here this evening, let me remind you that, of course, the program tonight is brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm pastor in Richfield, Ohio. I certainly invite you to visit us there, but also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And we mentioned East Coast Pizza because certainly if you're in the Cleveland area, I invite you to visit. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5 by mentioning Live with Pastor Al. But also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, whether you live in Ohio or Florida or somewhere in between, if you want to get into the pizza business yourself and it's just been too much money for franchises and things like that, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less, not a franchise, a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Let's get back to our program here, and let's get back to our guest, Tom Wallace. And we've got some callers calling in. And so first off, we'll get back with Tom Wallace here. And Tom Wallace, welcome back to the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Al. Again, it's great to be with you here tonight.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to come on with short notice. We've been talking, of course, the last half of the program, we've been talking about the situation in Paris, the Islamic terrorist attack. We've been talking about Islam and discussing the true nature of Islam. And amongst things that I'd kind of like to touch on in this half hour, after we've been talking about all this portion of Islam there, is how, as Bible believing Christians, our response ought to be to Islam. Certainly, we ought not to be terribly afraid. I mean, we live in a world that seems to be getting more dangerous by the day, and I always like to remind people that Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, he said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And that also, as believers, we need to remember how that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So as Christians, I mean, obviously our nation needs to defend itself. The French nation needs to defend its people. And we certainly have armies and navies and air forces and things of that nature to do just that. But ultimately, as Christians, we have got to reach people, including Muslims, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's really the only way to deal ultimately with this issue, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I think what everybody needs to understand, you need to separate the people from the religion.
Right.
You need to understand that Islam itself, that is the enemy. That's what's
right.
Dangerous. Don't blame Muslims for Islam. You know, Muslims do what they do because of Islam. So Islam is the issue. We need to, you know, address it. And as you said, you know, our leaders are saying that we're not at war with Islam. That's our problem, because Islam's at war with us.
Right.
We do need to declare war with Islam. But that doesn't mean we are at war with Muslims.
Right.
Now, Muslims who follow Islam will fight them on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to. And we need to fight to win. And that's another issue. But Muslims are victims of Islam.
Right.
Muslims are told the Quran is telling them that Jesus was not a god. He was just a man. Tells them that Jesus didn't die on the cross. There's two verses. It goes like this. I'm going to paraphrase it quite a bit. That Allah could see that Isa was in trouble, so he rescued him, took him into heaven. But before he took the image off of Jesus, put it on someone else, and that person went to the cross to fool everyone to think that Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't. And they assumed that must have been Judas because he went missing of the disciples.
Right.
And so if you don't have Jesus as God, you don't have Jesus dying on the cross, you don't have the atonement of sin, and you certainly won't have the resurrection if he didn't die. If you don't have those three things, you don't have the gospel. 1.7 billion people in the world today are following this lie and are being deceived. But not only does it deceive them from the truth of the gospel, but it enslaves them. There's so many things about Islam that is so destructive. But it's the Muslims are victims, and they need to be rescued. As you said, they need to come to Christ. And we go around the nation. We go into Muslim communities, to churches, pastors, and teach them. We have a course. Now we put 2,000 people through the course, how to engage Muslims with the gospel. About 500 people have taken it online. And we've now heard of almost 80 people, 80 Muslims, who've left Islam, who've been unshackled and have come to Christ. And we need to resist Islam. We need to fight against it, declare it as an enemy, and argue against it, fight against it. But the Muslim needs to come to Christ. That should be the Christian response to this.
Right. And certainly, Tom Wallace, when Jesus said he came to set the captives free, he even means the Muslims who are in bondage to Islam. And we've got a number of people calling in here tonight. And so let's go ahead and take some phone calls. And I believe we had Nancy calling in first. Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I really appreciate Tom Wallace being on your show tonight. Very, very informative. I'm just thinking about, I guess it's the militant Muslims that we need to really worry about, because like you say, the most of the Muslims are victims of Islam. And I'm thinking about the two main ideas about fighting. I know this is an oversimplification. In the Old Testament, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In the New Testament, you know, turn the other cheek. But how in the world can we turn the other cheek if there's a militant Muslim that's slaughtering people? And, and then I'm thinking about Matthew 5:21. They say that, we're told not to kill, but also if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you shall be in danger of judgment. If either one of you could comment on those two thoughts, I'd really appreciate it.
All right. And I think I'm going to turn that over to our guest, Tom Wallace. So, Tom, what do you have to say?
Well, I think, when we turn the cheek, I think we're not instructed how many times we have to turn the cheek, There's plenty of examples in the Bible for defense, there's a time, Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time for peace, there is a time, though, for war. There are times for these things, and we do have evil in the world, and so sometimes we are called upon to defend ourselves. And naturally, we want to stand on the high ground, on the moral ground here, and fight evil if we've been attacked. We don't want to be the one making the provocation. But if provocation has been made against us, then, the Bible does, Romans 1, give authority for the state, for the government, to bring death to those who violate the laws. And so
is that capital punishment? Is that what you're talking about? Capital punishment?
Well, yeah, that would be capital punishment, but I think also too, for a country to defend itself, the government has the authority to do that. So I think that also too, if you're defending yourself in self-defense, there's other issues we could argue here, but certainly, I think that there's a case there in the scriptures for us in that regard.
And I would add in Romans 13, verse 4, where it talks about official being minister of God and bearing not the sword in vain. And that would cover everything from the police to the military. Because that's an effort to protect. The military is protecting our country. The police are protecting our community. And then, of course, as Tom said, we do have areas where we can practice self-defense in the scriptures as well. I believe it's Exodus chapter 22 talks about the thief being smitten when he's found breaking in. No blood's to be shed for him because the person is defending his home when the thief is breaking in. But if he waits till the next day to go chase him down and kill him or something, then that's vigilantism, and then he's in danger of judgment. But yeah, we do have a lot of areas in the Bible where we can defend ourselves, defend our communities, and also turning the other cheek really in some respects has a lot to do with taking insults as opposed to defending oneself. But I hope that helped you out there tonight, Nancy. I got a number of other callers calling in. And
One real big question.
Yes.
Does your guest think that Obama's a Muslim? He certainly shows a lot of characteristics of that. Of course, he's going to be sympathetic to countries that are Muslim-run, and then, like, for example, the Iran deal. So I don't think he's going to do too much to protect us against these attacks.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'd rather not answer that.
Well, no, go ahead, Tom. Do you feel up to answering that?
Well, because we've got a bunch of callers, I'm going to simply say go to my website. I lay out the proof that Obama is still a Muslim, and he's confused. He thinks he's Christian and Muslim at the same time. Study Chrislam.
Yes.
Christianity, Islam being mixed together.
That's a whole other topic, isn't it? That's for sure.
Yeah.
I usually answer it this way. Whether or not he's a practicing Muslim, I'm not 100% sure. But how's that? Yes. Well, I want to thank you for the call, Nancy. And we've got Thomas calling in next. And Thomas, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi. I'd like to ask the guest to comment a little about Islam or Muslims in our society who maybe they serve as mayors or city council or military officers. We have a lot of them in our own society. So, you know, a approach such as your guest suggests, you know, this approach that they just need to be converted and even if whatever, is that really practical? I understand on the philosophical level you could be entirely right, theologically speaking, but the facts on the ground don't seem to suggest that these mass conversions are going to happen.
All right. Well, Tom Wallace, thinking about that, what can we practically do with regards to these people?
Well, first of all, as I said, you know, Islam is the enemy, but don't treat the Muslim automatically as the enemy, okay? We've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, many of them that are militant Muslims, that are fundamental Muslims, they hide behind this cloak, wolves in sheep's clothing, so to speak, as the moderate, peace-loving, democracy-loving, you know, type of Muslim. And the truth is, 80% of the Muslims that have come to America have come here to get away from the tyranny of Islam. They're afraid to renounce their faith in Islam because every Muslim knows what happens to an apostate. They're to be killed by the commands of the Sharia. So they come here, they don't renounce Islam, but they just don't practice it, and they still call themselves Muslim. So 8 out of 10 Muslims are going to be like that. But how do you know? Is he 8 of the 10 or 2 of the 10? Because the 2 of the 10 is not going to generally speak the truth. They're going to, you know, deceive. And besides, Islam gives you the moral ground to lie, al-Taqiyya. There's 4 doctrines of deception in Islam. That's another story. But, yes. You know, can we trust them? That's the big question. You know, if they hold political office or, you know, a control or rule in our country, can we trust them? If they're going to be loyal to Islam, we can't trust them. And so it's hard to know how we can trust them. I mean, I just read that one of the terrorists, one of the jihadis there in Paris, his neighbors described him as loving, peaceful, kind, helpful, you know, And then he goes around shooting innocent people.
Well, in fact, the Islamic State issued a thing when calling for some of these types of attacks. They said, when you move into a community, do everything you can to look like you're fitting in, to look like a peaceful, kind, helpful, civic-minded person until such time as we're ready, you know, for you to do your thing. And
Al, this is called the Doctrine of Al-Hijra.
Mm-hmm.
They go into non-Muslim countries. They start out small groups. They, you know, live by the laws and you know, act like they're supposed to there. And they grow their numbers. And as they start growing, then they play the victim card, and then they start agitating and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, it's the practice that Muhammad taught them, and it's the practice that's continued for 1,400 years.
Well, and I would add, too,
I guess what I was driving at, though, mm-hmm. I guess maybe I didn't ask the question right, but what I was driving at is, like, there's one city in particular, I think it's Minneapolis somewhere, that a whole entire city council is elected that is all.
Yeah, that's actually in Michigan. It's the town of what is it, Hamtramck or something like
that? Hamtramck.
Hamtramck, correct. It's the first American city to become, to elect a Muslim majority city council. And somebody, when they found that out, it was historically a Polish community for the most part. And somebody sent out a tweet or a cell phone video, I guess, taken just moments after they received word that they had taken over the city council, saying, "Today we show the Polish and everybody else," which didn't sound like a gracious statement there. But in terms of, you know, we have to live with people, and the Lord, you know, told us, Bible tells us, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. But at the same time, like Tom has said, we need to reach people with the gospel, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Buddhist, whether they're atheist, whether they're Catholic, whether they're Baptist, whether they're Jewish. Our responsibility, our mandate from the Word of God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're not to hide, you know, in the background. We're supposed to be out there trying to reach people. And as Tom said, a lot of Muslims are coming to Christ.
Yeah, I think and something I want to add to the caller's question here. See, this is a problem we saw in Europe. I spent 29 years of my life over in Europe. And we saw Muslims start coming in, building enclaves, taking over local governments, and that's how they start. They start with local governments, then they start putting political candidates into national government, and they build a voting base. And that's why they're having lots of babies, and to either outnumber us in the voting booth or outnumber us on the battlefield. And we have to stand up against that if we see this it's happening, because they're going to push. We're seeing this also in Dearborn, up in Michigan, and you know, that's the oldest Muslim community in the country, more established. They used to have the city mayor used to be Muslim there. The chief of police is Muslim, and so they're trying to vote in, and many on the city council. I thought Dearborn already had a majority Muslim council there, so I'm checking into this Hamtramck claim that they're the first. I don't think that's true. But anyhow, and they've been doing this in Europe. That's why France is in trouble. They're 5% Muslim there. But many communities have been taken over as enclaves, and they practice Sharia law and enforce that on non-Muslims when they come into their communities. That's happening in England, happening in France, and it's going to be happening here in America if we don't resist it.
Well, and I would think we should resist it on a couple of fronts, one of them certainly being doing everything we can to reach them with the gospel. And then the second front, of course, is alerting and educating, like we're trying to do tonight, people that it is real, it is there, we can't bury our head in the sand, we have to face up to it, we have to defend our communities and our country, but at the same time not lose track of the need to reach Muslims with the gospel message. And so I do appreciate our caller's question there. We've got a few minutes left in the program, and I've got Joy waiting patiently for us tonight. And Joy, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Thank you, Pastor Al.
Thank you for calling.
I love the program.
Thank you.
And as far as what's happening in Paris, but another thing I'd like to say, some of those that they that were some of the killers
mm-hmm.
that they got DNA from, I think they had been with some that were, you know, going to another country.
Mm-hmm.
They had been caught up with them. And one of the things I think we talked about at another show, and you had mentioned how many young men it was.
Right.
So I think this is a real plan also, a big plan behind this, because if with 70, 75 young men coming into the different countries without their families, they're coming in to marry or to shack mm-hmm. up with young women.
Right.
And they're going to make them women Muslim.
Right.
And that's another thing that has to be watched. And as Christians, naturally we have to try to win as many people as we can to the Lord. But I think that's going to be a hard task in winning the Muslims to Christ.
And but at the same time, we're commanded to do it. And you brought
and
up a good
should.
Point. You brought up a good point. At least two of the attackers they know now were some amongst the refugees. And
that's right.
We just had about, I forget how many thousands of Syrian, quote-unquote, refugees just brought into New Orleans. And we don't know who these people are. They're saying that they're vetting them. But passports are for sale left and right, counterfeited and stolen passports over in the Middle East. And some of our presidential candidates on both the Republican and Democrat side are calling for more of these refugees.
I know.
Hillary Clinton on the Democrat, for instance, and Lindsey Graham, of all people, on the Republican side, calling for more and more of these refugees.
And I think that we as Christians, the best thing that we can do right now, we see that we are in the end times, and this is not the end of it. There's a lot more that's to happen. And we really need to be ready. And I thank you for what you're doing, because I think churches aren't doing it. People don't know the facts.
You're right. And with that, we'll have to end on that, Joy, because we're about out of time here. And I want to thank you for your call. That was a great call to end on. And Tom Wallace, I want to thank you for being with us here tonight. And go ahead and give out your information there again before we wrap up the program.
Sure, be glad to. Our ministry is Fortress of Faith. Our website is fortressoffaith.org or .com. Goes to the same place. We have tons and tons of material dealing with Islam. My book is just about to be released, Refuting Islam. And in that, I deal with the Sharia law. We largely deal with that because that's the evidence. That's the great thing to argue against Muslims with. Muhammad wasn't just building a religion, he was building a kingdom, a legal system, a government. And, you know, we can't stop, religious practices. We have laws to protect that.
Right.
But we can stop them trying to establish a government here, a legal system, the Sharia. And that's what we war against them on with these societies, going back to the caller a couple ahead. Dealing with them coming in and getting into government, we've got to stop them from establishing the Sharia here. And stop them getting into our courts. Only 17 states are protected from Sharia law.
Right. American Laws 17. For American Courts is a movement.
Yeah.
And, hey, I hear the music there.
Many states are vulnerable.
Yes. I hear the music there. And I want to thank you for coming on the program with short notice here to talk about these things. And I want to encourage our listeners, like I said, don't be overwhelmed with this. It can be easy to become overwhelmed. It can be easy to you just want to crawl into a corner and just kind of shut the world out. But as believers, we're called to go out into the world. God is with us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And we're called to go out and be a witness. And let me remind you, as Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your hands, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, out of time tonight. Thank you, Tom Wallace, for being with us. Join us again next week. God bless and have a great night.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.